Coming up on today's show...
It takes work to work in a profession like sports and genuinely practice, particularly the Catholic faith.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. One more reminder, in case you still have not seen it, that last month I uploaded a new video to the official YouTube channel where I talk about how I managed to get all these guests week after week, month after month, year after year for this show. The point here is at the top of the website, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, so you can engage with me and the show that way. Again, head to catholicsportsradio.net and look for those logos, those links, for whichever platform or platforms, plural, you enjoy using. A reminder, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the Facebook group, which is free to join, by the way, and which you can also find a link for on catholicsportsradio.net. Remember also that any and all of those give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email. In the case of the latter, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. In case you did not hear last week's episode, stick around because I am going to be giving out the details again for the giveaway that is going on this month in terms of what you can win and how you can enter to win. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Sometimes as a sports fan, it's easy to feel lost. Rule changes, teams moving, players getting traded, coaches getting fired, heck, a league even folding. Many times it's a result of just having so much going on in our life that the days all run together and you're not able to keep up with all the sports news. What you might consider a big chunk of the season somehow gets away from you. When you even try to make something resembling an effort to get back into it, you just feel like you're nowhere and wonder if you'll be able to find your way back to where you were. And doesn't that mirror what happens all too often in one's faith life? The demands of everyday life squeeze church and personal prayer time out. You see the world around you falling apart. You start to even have questions, doubts. These are all examples that point to finding our way back to the Father who will always seek us and welcome us back into his loving arms. In the New Testament, we read in chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel, quote, "Or what women, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest spent almost 4 years as the public relations manager for Major League Baseball's Detroit Tigers. That followed stints as the University of Houston's Assistant Sports Information Director, the University of South Alabama's Assistant Sports Information Director, and the University of Georgia's Sports Information Assistant. He currently serves as an official scorer with Major League Baseball's San Diego Padres, a role he also held with the Washington Nationals and Houston Astros. He has umpired Little League Baseball, has coached youth soccer and baseball, and back in his days as a student athlete, played baseball and wrestled. On the faith side, he is the Director of Development for Catholic Answers and serves as the backup host for their live radio show. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dave Matheson.
Hey, Bruce. Hope you're doing well today, and hello to everyone out there.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Appreciate you checking in all the way from out in Southern California, which is a long, long way from where you grew up. Share with the audience about where you were born and raised, as well as what the family size was.
Yeah, so I was born, believe it or not, in Natchez, Mississippi, but we left there when I was probably about a year old. So I grew up in Southern Virginia, and it was my mom and dad and my brother and the four of us in our household in a little town called Danville, Virginia, right on the North Carolina border.
Now, there is a bit of a plot twist in Dave's story in that the upbringing in Southern Virginia was not the traditional Catholic household that most guests describe on this show. Dave, explained to the audience what the environment was faith-wise.
Yeah, we. So I was originally baptized Methodist, and for the first, I guess, until I was about 7 years old, so we were a Methodist family. We moved to Danville, and we joined a Baptist church, and so I grew up the rest of my my faith life, if you will, all the way up till I left. I left home after college as a Southern Baptist, and my father was very active in the church. In fact, he was a deacon. He was a member of the board of governors, or whatever they called it, at the Baptist church at the time. My mom was involved with the women's ministry, and you know, it was I will credit that part of my upbringing for learning to love the Lord, learning to know more about Him and about salvation history. But as we'll talk about later, it was really just kind of an introduction to the Christian faith. But it was a very loving family. I think sometimes when people hear Southern Baptist, they think, oh, wow, did you guys drink? Did you dance? You know, things like this. We were not that. We were a very, I'd say, even-keeled Southern Baptist congregation from that standpoint. But certainly a loving household in the Lord within the Southern Baptist Church.
Nice, nice. As evidenced by the intro I read off, you have quite the sports background. When and how did you first get into playing sports when you were young?
You know, the first day I remember, so we at the time we lived near Virginia Beach, Virginia, after we first moved back to Virginia. And it's funny, I remember, and this has come up, it's come back to my mind with this news at the time we're recording here about Lionel Messi coming to Major League Soccer here in the U.S., and they referenced Pelé, who, when I was a little boy in the early to mid-70s, was playing for the New York Cosmos, and it was a really big deal, but that was my first sport, was soccer. So I was probably 5 or 6 years old playing soccer, and I remember, I knew nothing about this, but I remember being a Pelé fan and a fan of the New York Cosmos, because that's what anybody ever talked about among kids when it came to soccer. That was the big deal. So soccer was first, and then soon thereafter, my dad had played baseball in high school, so I think early on he knew he was going to get me involved in baseball, t-ball first and then baseball. And so really the baseball was the focus. I think I played a year of football in junior high, and then I wrestled, as you said, in high school as well. But that was kind of the evolution. Baseball was always the center, if you will, of my youth sports activities.
And folks, I say this from time to time. I think it's about time on the Catholic Sports Radio calendar that I repeat it. As obvious as it may sound, the reason that I ask a guest that question, I'm usually looking to hear the part of their answer where they say who it was that got them into sports. And you heard Dave mention that it was his dad. And so as common sense as it sounds, I want to remind all you parents out there what a great opportunity that you have, but also what a big responsibility you have, because the children are listening to you. They are watching you. They are being influenced by something like the sport that you used to play or the sport that you're trying to put them into. But I also want to encourage you to cherish those moments and really embrace the time that you have with your son or your daughter or both in getting them started in whatever the sport is, because you want them to still have the memories all these years later, like a Dave Matheson sitting here saying, my dad played baseball, he got me into it. And that's something that later in life you're going to look back on with great pride. Dave, let's fast forward to your having attended college at the University of Virginia. And by the way, clearly you were always pointed towards sports, what with having gotten a degree there in sports management. But what was your faith life like then, meaning during and after college?
You know, again, coming from an evangelical background, I think, you know, there is some beauty, but there is a problematic aspect of it, too, in that the faith is very simple. You know, if you say you love the Lord and you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven, right? And I think that was very much my mindset. And part of that is that, you know, I didn't feel the need to go to church. Church was simply, it was something that our family derived community from when I was home. I didn't need that community when I went to college, because I had friends and I had activities and all that sort of thing. So why do I need to go to church? I'm saved. I don't need the community the church offers, so I'll just kind of float along. Jesus and I, we're good, you know? And so my faith life was, I never considered myself anything other than a Christian. I was never an atheist or agnostic or anything like that, but I did not have a deep relationship with God. I did not know Jesus particularly well, and my life reflected that. You know, in addition to having the evangelical background, the once saved, always saved sort of approach.
Well, and I think what I'm reading between the lines is that you were also saying, I was there to focus on my studies. And I believe you're actually a dual major. So clearly, you were really buckling down on education. And it was probably a product of all the things that we're talking about here, that, like you say, you were good with Jesus and your faith life was on cruise control, but you were also really making sure that you were getting your education.
It's true, and I think I just those were my priorities. I felt like my faith life, again as an evangelical, was taken care of. There really wasn't anything I needed to do on a regular basis. Set that aside in order to focus on things that, at least at the time, as a late teen, early 20s type of person, I thought were more important.
So you graduated from the University of Virginia in 1992, and the plot thickens 4 years later, because in 1996...
In 1996, I married my cradle Catholic, fiancé. We got married in late 1996, and it changed my life in more ways than one.
So under what circumstances did you meet her? Because obviously you weren't Catholic at the time, and it doesn't mean that Catholics only meet other Catholics in church, but
right.
I'm curious as to how the two of you met.
So the two of us, I worked at the University of Houston, as you said earlier, as an assistant sports information director, and she was working as an admin in the athletic department at the University of Houston as well. So she and I, you know, when I got there in 1994, when I was hired, she was already there, and we became fast friends for whatever reason. Now, my wife is her parents are Mexican. She grew up in the Mexican neighborhood there in Houston. Frankly, in terms of our background, we could not be more different, aside from the fact that I was an evangelical religiously, and she was a devout cradle Catholic. Or at least, you know, there's a lot more to the story here. She was a devout cradle Catholic in that she knew a lot of the what's of the Catholic faith, but not a lot of the whys. Mm. And that plays into my conversion story later on. But we met just as being colleagues. We became friends, and after a year or so of friendship, we were close enough that we decided we wanted more out of our relationship and proceeded on to eventually becoming engaged. Right about the time that I got the job to work for the Detroit Tigers, because I was going to be leaving Houston, and that was the moment at which we became engaged.
Wow. So Dave marries a cradle Catholic, and you would assume he became a convert to the faith immediately or shortly thereafter, but that's why you should not assume it, in fact, was not immediately or shortly thereafter. Before I have him share his powerful conversion story, though, I did say at the beginning of this episode that I would be repeating the information about the giveaway that's going on this month, which I had mentioned for the first time last week. By the way, if you didn't hear it, do go back and listen to last week's episode with Hayden Dalton. He is an American pro basketball player who played this season for a team in Israel and told how greatly he has been impacted by living in the Holy Land. Wow, great, great testimony from him. In the middle of my conversation with Hayden Dalton last week, I stopped and said the following. This is usually where I ask you to prayerfully consider supporting my ministry, since I'm just a one-person operation and don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. But if you've been listening long enough, by now you know how you can do that. The blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, or email me or contact me through social media for details on sending me a check through the mail. Instead, I want to use the time during this part of the show this week, and so now here I am doing it again this week, to tell you about how you can win a copy of the children's book that you heard Aaron Brostel mention a few weeks ago on episode 224. Maybe you have a child or a grandchild that this would be good for, or a niece or nephew, or just basically some 0 to 5-year-old that would enjoy it. It is a picture book called God Made the Moonlight. You can look the book up online if you so desire, but Aaron has been kind enough to give me a copy so that I can give it away to a lucky listener. In fact, on the show page for last week's episode with Hayden Dalton, and again, for the page on CatholicSportsRadio.net for Dave Matheson's episode, I am putting a link to the page on Aaron Brostel's website where you can see the details of her God Made the Moonlight book. All you need to do to enter is write to me via Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net and let me know that you heard about the book giveaway and would like to be entered to win. This is running all throughout June, so get your email to me by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday night, June 30th, and then I will draw one lucky winner on Saturday, July 1st, and the winner will be contacted then. I even last week posted a picture of me holding the book on the Catholic Sports Radio Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts. Get your entry in to me via email, and good luck. Dave, go ahead and share with us your story of converting to the Catholic faith.
Sure, Bruce. So when my wife Norma and I got married, in fact, when we got engaged, we really didn't discuss discuss matters of faith. She knew I wasn't Catholic. I knew she was. I really, and I alluded to this earlier, I never grew up as an anti-Catholic Baptist. I was simply ambivalent to the Catholic faith. I wasn't quite sure Catholics were Christians, but I thought they were. And once I met my wife, I knew Catholics were indeed Christians. I just didn't know very much about them. So we had been married for almost 8 years, 7.5 years at this point. So this was mid-2004. And I attended Mass several times. We were kind of what some would call a Creaster Catholics, or my wife was. We would go on Christmas. We'd go on Easter. Mm-hmm. We'd go occasionally from time to time when it was convenient. So she wasn't actively practicing her faith either at that time. But we always knew that our children would be raised in the Catholic faith. So our oldest daughter, Isabel, she had reached the point of First Communion. She went through First Communion. And there's a little bit more to the backstory here that just for brevity, I won't get too much into. But essentially, my wife and I are sitting in front of a priest because we needed to get our marriage convalidated. And as a result, and I was fine with that, by the way. I said, sweetheart, if this is something you think we need to do, that's fine. Tell me where I need to be, who I need to see. And she said, we just need to meet with the priest. He's going to do this and that. Sounds great. So we're sitting with the priest, and the priest says, oh, Dave, so by the way, why aren't you Catholic? And I said, well, no one ever asked me. So he kind of gives my wife this side eye, right? No, really? No one's ever asked you? And my wife says, well, would you consider being Catholic? And I said, well, I'll think about it.
Hold on. Let me jump in here. Okay. Let me jump in here. When he asked you, why are you not Catholic? And you said, no one ever asked me.
Yeah.
Did you mean no one ever asked me to become Catholic? Or did you mean, gee, no one has ever asked me that question before?
Well, a little bit of both. I guess in a way they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
But no one had ever asked me, including my wife or my mother-in-law or anybody else, to consider becoming Catholic. And so when that question came up, I said, sure, honey, I'll look into it. And from a priest, right? First from the priest and then from my wife, right? And so long story short, my mother-in-law was going to serve as my sponsor. We were living in Houston at the time, and I entered RCIA at the parish where my wife grew up in, actually, which is, again, in the middle of the Latino community. So you kind of picture this. I'm sitting in the church for RCIA, and God bless him, the 70-year-old Franciscan priest who is the white Franciscan priest who spoke limited Spanish, trying to teach RCIA in both languages to a mixed group of students. And I quickly realized that if I was going to make this decision, I needed to do my own research. I needed more than what I was going to learn in this RCIA class. And it's kind of who I am anyway. I'm a reader. You know, I like to do research, things like that. So my mother-in-law had given me a book called Surprised by Truth. And it is a compilation of conversion stories that was done by Patrick Madrid, who some people who are listening might know. Patrick is wonderful. And, in fact, a Catholic Answers alumnus. And the foreword to that book was written by a gentleman named Dr. Scott Hahn, who is another one that I'm sure everyone listening is familiar with.
Yeah.
So I proceeded over the next 6 or 8 months to read everything Scott Hahn had written.
Mm.
I would ask my wife questions about the Catholic faith. Often she didn't know and would say, go look it up. So I'd go to the internet, and one way or another, I'd end up at Catholic.com, which is the website for Catholic Answers. So in the meantime, through all of Dr. Hahn's work, Catholic Answers' work, I came to believe everything was true. I had no major stumbling blocks. You know, there are some evangelicals who are examining the church and Mary is their stumbling block, or confession, or purgatory. I didn't know anything about any of these things, really, so this was all new to me, and I believed it. I came to truly embrace it, so I was all in when I came into the church, Easter Vigil of 2005.
Yeah. Having heard that story, as you look back now to the days when you were working full-time in Major League Baseball, what perspective can you share in hindsight, being where you are now, faith-wise?
Yeah, it's as I look back. So I was in Major League clubhouses from 1996 to 2000, and one of the things that did strike me is the number of baseball players who are Christians, and at least in their own way are committed Christians. The vast majority of them, at least overtly, are evangelicals. And at the time that I was in the clubhouses, when I was working for the Tigers, the spiritual support was, as far as I could tell, only provided by an evangelical group called Baseball Chapel.
Mm.
So there would be a pastor of some sort who would come in on a regular, every Sunday, and it, from time to time, would be in the clubhouse at other times to provide spiritual support for the evangelical players. I really saw no evidence of Catholicism in the clubhouse, although I'm sure we had some Catholics, particularly some of the Latino players were Catholic, I'm sure. But as that said, as I look back, as difficult, one of the things that I always thought was, if I was to even consider becoming Catholic while I was working full-time in sports, the sports schedule is such that the hours are long, you're often working on Sundays, you're certainly working on Holy Days of Obligation, for example. Not that I knew about it, a lot of this stuff back then, but as I look back, it takes work to work in a profession like sports and genuinely practice, particularly the Catholic faith, because of the obligation to attend Mass on Sundays and Holy Days of Obligation. And if you're going to be a true, dedicated, devout Catholic, there's so much more, as you know. There's the Rosary, there's Scripture reading, there's Lectio Divina, there's so many things you can do to really draw closer to the Lord, and the Catholic faith gives us all of this. But as I think back, I'm not sure I was in the mindset at that time where I would have put in the work to be a good, solid, committed Catholic like I find myself today. And I think it's where folks like I was who work full-time in athletics, one way or another, they need support, they need some help, and they need folks who can show them, here's how you can live your faith life while you are participating in a very, at least time-demanding profession. Because my day working in public relations, I know you've got some experience in this too, Bruce. My day was, when the team was in town, 9 in the morning, I'm at Tiger Stadium. I'm not leaving Tiger Stadium until 11:30 at night.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Getting to bed at 1 a.m.
Yep.
Where's my time to practice my faith? Well, there is time, but you've got to be intentional about it. And I think that's, Bruce, that's where your program is so important. Because if there is somebody listening who is in working full-time in professional or college athletics, maybe there's some tips that can be gained from your interviews that will help them see, okay, here's where I could fit in a rosary. oh, okay, maybe I go to a Saturday night vigil because Sunday afternoon the team's in town and we're playing, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I always think way back when the show was first started, and one of my first guests was Mike Candrea, who has coached for years and years Arizona softball, but also coached the women's Olympic softball team. And he said, you know, what kind of message are we sending to our student athletes when we're scheduling games, when we're scheduling tournaments on Sunday, when out of the other side of our mouth, we're telling them how important it is to be at mass, to be at church, whatever service they're going to. But, you know, I have admired and been grateful for the fact that there have been a lot of guests who have come on the show that, different from what you described back in your days with the Tigers, have said that, yes, present day 2023, whether it's NFL, whether it's MLB, that they are making sure that there's some sort of Catholic mass available for the players. And of course, guys like you and I that worked in sports PR, the staff is welcome to join as well. So there's advances that have been made, but yes, you hit the nail on the head, Dave, when you said you also have to make the effort, because just because it's being offered doesn't mean that everyone is going to it. You do have to, and yeah, it's a sacrifice. It's a professional sacrifice. You say, but I got to get the press notes done, or I got to go up to the press box, or there's a live shot that, you know, that's where you have to say, how important is your faith? Are you worshiping sports? Are you worshiping your job? And so it's been a nice progress that I've seen, but it also boils down to each one of us individually. And like you said, are we making an effort? And by the way, folks, make no mistake, despite not being a cradle Catholic, it has very much been a sprint for Dave in terms of making up for lost time.
Yeah. It really has, Bruce, and I think back to, you know, throughout as my life in the faith has grown since 2005 when I came into the church, and there was a reversion mixed in here for my wife as well. Again, she never left the Catholic faith, but she is all in. Norma is all in today, just as I am. So it's really been a nice kind of symbiotic growth in the Catholic faith, but I will make two points, or reiterate two points that you made. One, today, I think there are Catholic masses in maybe all 30 Major League ballparks today. That is night and day from when I was in the game 23, 24 years ago. So that's a very positive thing. That's something that we can celebrate, right? And then I also think that it's, there is so much opportunity for evangelism to take that guy or that woman next to you when you're working in a major league sports organization. If you're in on your faith and you can say, I have found a time when I'm able to go to mass, you know, maybe it's because mass is being offered there in the stadium. Why don't you come with me? Or if it's you're going to the Saturday night vigil, hey, why don't you and I go to mass together?
Yeah, 100%.
On that Saturday evening.
100%.
Or hey, you know what? I need to pray my rosary. How about we go out by the third base line? We'll just sit in the stands. How about you and I pray the rosary for the next 20 minutes?
I love it.
These sorts of things are great opportunities for evangelism.
But Dave, I want to take my hat off to you because you said 2005 was when you came into the Catholic Church, and my gosh, all that you have done, and you did say that it's your personality type, but you have really immersed yourself in the Catholic faith. Give some of the examples that I'm referring to the audience of all the things that you've been active in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, well, and I will say one of the watershed moments for me is I reached a point in my faith where I felt like I wanted to do more. I looked into the diaconate, for example, the permanent diaconate. I started thinking about what if I had the opportunity to leave what I was doing, which was my sales career, and work for something involved with the church. And I had a conversation with our pastor at the time, and he said, you know what, Dave, those are good things, but let's start here. Help me start a men's fellowship here at St. Francis de Sales Church in Purcellville, Virginia. And I said, you know what? I can do that. So there were a small handful of us guys, three or four of us, and we brought that man as you that some people might be familiar with to our parish.
Yeah.
I became the Grand Knight of our Knights Council. My wife and I taught CCD to third graders for a couple of years. We went to the March for Life there in D.C. Percival, Virginia is about 45 minutes from downtown D.C. And it really helped deepen my faith and got my toes wet in finding excuses, finding purposes for my time to give it to God in some way, in a way that matched with my skills and the time that I had available and what my desires really were. And it's really important to me, for example, to help bring my fellow men. You were mentioning dads earlier, but bringing my fellow men along in the faith as much as I can. And it really is iron sharpens iron. So that's been a big part of my, what I've done in the faith, so to speak, since my conversion.
Yeah, and a footnote, you just heard among the list of things that Dave mentioned, the March for Life, three times, actually, that he attended that.
Yeah.
Dave, I had said in the intro that you serve as the backup host for Catholic Answers Live radio show, which doesn't really need much explanation, but I also mentioned that you're the director of development there. Fill my audience in on what that entails.
So, as you think about my career arc, if you will, I spent almost 10 years in public and media relations. So there's that relationship aspect again, as you know well, Bruce. It's such an integral part of what you do when it comes to public relations, dealing with the folks. And then I spent almost 20 years in sales. So when I had the opportunity to leave my past position in sales and come to Catholic Answers, I had gotten to know the executives here at Catholic Answers, and they said, well, would you want to try fundraising? And that's what I do now. I'm the director of fundraising, director of development here at Catholic Answers. And it's really all about taking a ministry that is so important to me and has been so important to my faith life and was integral in my conversion and has touched so many lives around the world, frankly, with our ability to explain and defend the Catholic faith, going out there and encouraging and inspiring others to donate to Catholic Answers and help us do what we do and do it for even more people. That's what I do, and I've got a great team of four other folks that work with me and work under me, and it is a truly joyous effort that we put forth each and every day.
Yeah, and folks, clearly you could see the Lord's hand in all this and the seeds that were being planted, because if you recall, when Dave was saying what a researcher he is and that it's just his personality to go seeking more information, that a lot of what he was doing was on the internet, and it led him to Catholic.com, and lo and behold, he ends up going to work for Catholic Answers. And for those of you that might be new to the show, I always try to keep in mind that even more than 4 years into Catholic Sports Radio, there are people who are still just discovering the show now. If you're wondering why Dave has mentioned a couple times Bruce, you know what I'm talking about. Bruce, you've been there. I spent 10 seasons with a National Hockey League team, and then I spent 10 and a half years working in the Olympic movement. At the beginning of the show, I mentioned the website catholicsportsradio.net, and there's a page on there where you can read all about both my spiritual and my sports background. And when you hear all that, I always fear that people are going to say, he worked in the National Hockey League, he worked in the Olympic movement, and yet he's asking for donations also for his podcast. And that's where guys like Dave can back me up, that just because you have what appears to be a glamorous job doesn't mean that it's glamorous, and it certainly doesn't mean that you have the paycheck that goes with it.
Yeah, if you're not wearing a uniform or on the field of play, and or you're not involved with hiring and firing players, generally speaking, you are not among the most well-paid people out there, let me put it that way.
So, Dave, as we get ready to wrap this up, we heard about your having entered holy matrimony back in 1996.
Correct.
And you mentioned one of your daughters, but how many children do you and Norma have? What are your children's ages? And has their father's passion for sports been passed down to one or more of them?
Yeah. Norma and I, we have three. So our oldest, Isabel, is now 29, and she and her husband, Gabe, have two children. So we have two grandchildren, and they're 1 and 3 years old. Mm. And then our middle son, Daniel, He's 25. He's in the Air Force. And then our youngest, Sarah, is 21, almost 22. She actually works here with me at Catholic Answers, which is a tremendous blessing as well. Yeah, and honestly, so my big baseball fan is Isabel. So she was there when I was working in Detroit, and she remembers. Daniel was born in Detroit, but he was just an infant when I left. Daniel's my basketball fan, so I like basketball a lot. It does take a second seat to baseball, but for him, basketball is definitely the first. And Sarah grew up a soccer player and a soccer fan. And kind of dabbles a little bit in other sports, but I got two of them at least, I would say. But my baseball fan is the oldest. That's Isabel.
And does Isabel root for the Padres, or does she not live in that part of the country?
She lives here with her husband at Camp Pendleton. He's in the Marines. She roots as much as anything for the Astros because that's where she spent a lot of her formative years, and where I first started scorekeeping. Was also in Houston 22 years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Wonderful stuff, Dave. So great to have you on the show. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce. Same to you, and I hope to talk to you again.
Thank you. Thank you. And folks, I thought it would be appropriate. It's been a minute, as the kids these days say, I'm holding up air quotes, since we have closed with our sportsman's prayer. So let's close this week's episode by praying that together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.